Do you know what time it is? It's supernatural story time. And if you're easily scared, and even if you're not, there's only one thing left to do. Just turn off the lights, because these are stories that you listen to only in the dark. Campfire Stories, Volume 5, Story Number 1. I knew from past experience that I have a heightened sensory awareness when compared to other people. I grew up always being aware of moods of people and rooms and picked up on things that my siblings didn't. As I got into young adulthood, I realized that I could feel distrust and dishonesty from a handshake or just being near a person that appeared above board on the outside but was evil beneath. I had the knack of feeling another life form present if it were near me, especially if it was one that I was not accustomed to. Below is an account of a few of those experiences. Now bear in mind, they're not in the woods, but scary nonetheless. My husband and I had gone for a very long bike ride and came home and showered and settled in for the night. We lived in a two-story house that had each bedroom on the other side of the stairs. My baby was asleep in the room to the right of the stairs, and around the corner to the left was our room. We soon fell into a deep sleep from exhaustion. At 4 a.m., I sat up straight in my bed and looked around. I had no idea why I had sat up, but I felt extremely uneasy. I shook my husband and told him that something was wrong and that he needed to go downstairs and look around. I had no idea why, because I did not know exactly why I woke up, but I had a horrible feeling in my gut. And again, I poked him and told him to get up. And he said, "Go back to sleep, honey. It's 4 a.m. and it's storming. You probably heard a tree limb or something and it woke you." Now, there was heavy wind, and I could hear rain that had not been in the forecast prior to sleeping, so I reasoned that, okay, he could be right. I laid there, and I felt so uneasy that I had an uncontrollable urge to run across the hall and grab my little 10-month-old son and put him in bed with me. I thought to myself, okay, if he, the husband, won't bother to go around the house, I won't either. With my baby in my arms, I fell back asleep. A few hours later, I awoke to my husband shaking me and apologizing for his lack of response in the wee hours, and he told me that our house had been broken into. Someone had broken the window of his car and had taken the garage opener and gotten to the garage, stole our bikes and all of our tools, but he said as they entered the house, tools were on the floor where they must have been startled and set them down and left. They must have heard me wake up and left the house. The next time was a few years later, and we had moved to a city that I was unfamiliar with. I had left my husband and moved into a house down a street off the main road, not far from a school. I didn't know the area well, as we'd lived there only for 5 months. My boys were now 4 and 6. My house was situated on a deep cul-de-sac towards the end, but on the left-hand side of this very wide cul-de-sac. I was cooking dinner in the kitchen while the boys were playing and started feeling extremely uneasy. I felt this all through dinner and decided to walk outside to see if anything was going on. I looked at the house two doors down from me because the people were gone on vacation for a week, but everything appeared fine. But I felt as if someone were watching me. I went back inside and started washing dishes again. I felt that intense feeling of impending doom. It was so strong that I even felt sick to my stomach. So I turned off the kitchen light and just started to walk out of the kitchen. When I saw out of the corner of my eye movement in the dark outside, it was so vague that I was not sure it was really a person out there. So I went out the back sliding glass door and peered through my tall wood fencing. In the middle of the street, sitting on top of a manhole, I could see a figure. The man was very hard to detect because he was dressed in black and sitting down. He had a bag with him. Now, I assumed he was staking out the house that my neighbors were not at home at because of their extended stay. So I quietly went inside and called the police. This was pre-cell phone era in 1996. A bit later, I saw a police car drive down the road, and I heard a knock on my door, and the police had me point to where the man was and give details and they said they were going to check out the house more closely to make sure no one had tried to break in. I felt relieved. So, I went back to my business of reading bedtime stories to my boys. The phone rang again, so I went in to answer it. It was the police. The police told me to remain very calm, but to do exactly what they told me to do, and to do it in a very fast, timely manner. They said that they had left the area, and there was only one car nearby, and they were speeding to my home. They wanted me to get the kids into the bathroom and lock the door and wait till they got there. They had no time to go into details, but that I was in immediate danger. Apparently, another officer was on the beat next to my block and came across a white van that was empty. Upon running the license plates, it belonged to a very dangerous person that had raped a woman and tortured her and was on the run from another county. The other officer called it in and they went to check it out and realized that it butted up against my cul-de-sac. There was no fast way to my house, so they called to warn me. While I sat in that bathroom, waiting for the police to arrive, I had no idea why I was in the bathroom, but of course, I was very scared for my children and myself. I was quiet, and luckily, my boys were already asleep when I had picked them up and put them in the tub in the bathroom. I heard a noise in the house, but it was like clicking or taps, and I felt a bit of panic because I felt another presence. I listened carefully, thinking perhaps it was a police trying to get in the front door, which was locked. Again, I heard a noise, but it was coming from the direction of my bedroom. I had no idea why I was in the bathroom to begin with, but I really did not like the idea of having no place to go and was contemplating grabbing up the kids and running to the car. But as I got close to the bathroom door, I could feel someone else in the house. I laid on the floor and tried to look under the door and tried to remain calm and stay quiet. I was so afraid my kids would wake up and make noise. Finally, I heard the cop's car outside and them at the front door banging on it. Then I heard them yell and run and lots of commotion, so I slipped out of the bathroom. The officers found the bag by the side of my house. It had a bandana, tape, and rope inside and handcuffs, the things he'd used when he previously had raped and tortured his victim. He had been watching me for hours, sitting in wait until a time to make his move, which I had foiled because of my intuition. The man had run from the officers and jumped the fence. He got away that evening but was caught a week later. Story number two. I was 10 years old and on a canoeing trip in northern Wisconsin at a cabin owned by my oldest brother. The nearest people were an old farming couple that had a place 2 or 3 miles down the road. We used to draw water from their well. We had just arrived at the cabin and unloaded, and my brother told me to stay and continue unpacking while he went to get water. We had brought our pointer along, and shortly after he had left, I got this strange and uneasy feeling like I was being watched. The dog then got up from a bunk and started growling and slowly pacing between the window and the door. It was getting dark, and as I peered out of the only window, I could not see anything, but I was scared, and I could not calm the dog. Something was out there watching and circling the cabin. I grabbed my brother's single action 45 and the dog and climbed into the bunk, placing my back against the wall. I was just a scrawny little kid and could barely hoist the pistol. I had my thumb on the hammer and finger on the trigger, resting the barrel on my bent knees. The dog continued with her low growl, and we sat there for what seemed like an eternity, alternately watching the window and door. Finally, I heard the J-20 bouncing down the fire trail, so I eased the barrel away from the door. My brother walked in and was shocked to see me backed against the wall sitting on the bunk with my dog and the hog leg, and in his words, white as a ghost. The next day, we visited another neighboring cabin located 5 miles or so in the opposite direction of the farmhouse to see if the owners were there. No one was there, but something had recently scratched and chewed all 4 corners of the cabin's exterior walls to a height of 6 or 7 feet, most likely a bear. I had another startling occurrence while living in southwest Missouri. Some friends and I were doing some night cat fishing from shore on the James River and periodically running our trot lines. We were sitting along the shoreline with a nice fire going, accompanied by the usual idle talk and a few beers, when suddenly everyone just stopped talking like a switch was flipped off. We were all staring across the river and felt as if something or someone was staring back. It was a very uneasy feeling to which some of the group tried to shake off with a typical macho humor when a blood-curdling sound erupted from the other shore that froze everyone in their tracks. This sound was unlike any other that I had heard, and it made every hair in my body vibrate and tingle. The only way I can describe it is that it sounded like a wild person with no language skills who was being gutted alive. No words, just this high-pitched, blood-curdling noise or a scream. Nobody moved or said a word. We all just sat there, fixed in our stare. Then just as suddenly, a second noise, scream thing was let loose with even more force than the first. By this time, several of us were sprinting to our trucks that were parked within 20 or 30 feet and retrieving various firearms. We all sat there quietly with our eyes fixed, staring toward the opposite shore, watching the light from our fire reflecting off the rocks. Hours later, we packed it up and left, feeling very unsettled. We never did figure out that one, or even hazard a guess as to what was on the opposite bank. Story number 3. When I was 20, my girlfriend, now my ex, and I decided to take a week-long camping trip to some property that belonged to her father's friend with my Australian cattle dog, Wrangler, and a German Shepherd, Zero, about 4,000 acres of undeveloped ranch in the northeast Texas woods. The plan was to be taken by four-wheeler to a point on the property unknown by us, and then we would hike back to the main gate over the next week. I had a GPS for an emergency, but we planned on doing the trip with maps and compass only. We were well equipped for the trip, had enough food for 3 days, planned to hunt the rest, water for 3 days, and water purifying systems. All the necessary camping gear. She had her bolt action 223 and a terrorist judge. I had my .22 rifle and my .40 caliber baby eagle. We arrived at our destination and bid farewell to the friends that dropped us off on the four-wheelers. Our first day, we mainly wandered around exploring and figuring out our plan. There was a creek running through the property that we could follow, and it would get us pretty close to the gate. We had our plan and had done enough exploring, so we started setting up camp before dark. Our first night was very pleasant for the most part. Dinner by the fire with the dogs, chit-chatting all night till about midnight when we decided to turn in. I woke up around 2:30 with a strange feeling. I saw Wrangler and Zero at the door of the tent, very tense, but not making a sound. I knew right away something was up. Both of these dogs were well-trained and very loyal and protective of us. I stepped out with a light and the 40 to look around and left the dogs with my girlfriend just in case. She's a deep sleeper. I made my rounds around camp and found nothing, but I couldn't shake the feeling that something was watching me. I passed it off as a pack of coyotes and went back to bed, trusting the dogs to watch out for us. We woke up the next morning and I told her what happened. We just blew it off and began our day. Well, the second night, we set up camp near the creek and things got a bit hairy. While sitting around the fire, we heard a very strange sound, something I've never heard before. The dogs began to growl and snarl facing the woods north of us. We quickly drew arms and began to sweep the campsite. Found nothing, but the sound persisted around camp. It was like a snarling, gargling, sniffing sound. We didn't sleep that night, no matter how much we looked and checked. We could never find the source of that sound, and the dogs were restless the whole night. By the third night, we were very restless. When night fell, we sat by the fire with arms at our sides. We were going to stay up in shifts to keep watch, just in case. While I was asleep, I heard the dogs go off, and when I woke up, I saw my girlfriend standing with Zero at her feet and her judge drawn. I quickly took arms at her back. Something had apparently run very rapidly behind the tent. She couldn't describe what it was. Then it ran by again. I caught a glance under the light of the fire behind us. It was big and very fast. Ran on all fours, but that's all I made out. It sounded like more than one creature this time. They weren't coyotes. Too big and much too fast. Heather spotted one again behind the tent and fired. We heard the nasty snarl again, and Wrangler broke away from me and gave chase. I loved my dog, but didn't dare go after him. I just called and called, but he didn't return. We stood there, guns drawn, for an hour after she had fired. Everything was quiet. Then we heard rustling. We had our sights on the sound, and Wrangler came out of the woods. He wasn't hurt, but he had blood on his back. After this, we decided to bug out at sunrise. We packed up and started hiking. We were about 2 days' hike nonstop from the gate, and we were ready to do it. The third night, we didn't camp. We broke out the headlights and kept going. Whatever was in those woods was back, following us, but at a greater distance this time. They followed all night. That was one of the most intense hikes I've ever had. We hiked with our guns in front and the dogs in back. Whatever was following us wasn't stupid. It stuck to our sides, usually about 40 yards out into the woods, always out of sight. We stopped to rest for a few minutes around 4 a.m. They stopped too. From what we could hear, it sounded like maybe three things out there. They got closer when we stopped, and I thought I saw something and fired the .223. I didn't hit anything. Probably my mind playing games with me, but the shot scared them back to a much greater distance. By sunrise, they were gone again. We made it to the gate before dark and hightailed it out of there. We returned the next day on four-wheelers and with several other people to have a look around. We went to the site of our second camp and found a blood trail from whatever the hell that Heather had hit with a slug shot loaded in the judge. The trail ran for about 200 yards before we lost it. We found nothing else and headed back before darkness caught us again. We never found out what they were, and no one had any experience like that on the property before. To this day, I try not to talk about it too much because I even have trouble believing it sometimes. I try telling myself they were coyotes with manger, mutated, or something, but Heather never let me believe myself. Not too many creatures out there can take a 410 slug and bleed that much without going down, especially not a coyote. All I know is that I won't camp on that property anytime soon. Next story. When I was a kid, my dad had an old Jeep, maybe a CJ5, can't remember. All I remember about it is that it was an old rattle trap. We were driving across Highway 520 in East Central Florida on our way to Titusville to fish the flats for trout. I was half asleep. The sound of the old canvas doors and top was making enough racket to keep me awake. To set the stage, 520 is a desolate piece of road. No houses, no lights, just swamp and woods. We were cruising along and all of a sudden, bam, lots of noise and couldn't see anything. I was scared. Didn't know what was going on, but it was obvious after a minute, the hood flew up. Dad stopped the Jeep right in the road as there wasn't any traffic in either direction. We closed and latched the hood. It had a hell of a dent in the middle of it where it hit the windshield. We started back down the road. You couldn't have nailed my eyes shut now. We drove a little further and Dad says, "Hey, do you see that?" He was pointing out the windshield down the road. I looked out there. And there was something in the middle of the road. He slowed down. And as we came up on it, he stopped, probably 40 yards away. Sitting in the middle of the road, literally on the yellow lines, was a huge black panther. It was sitting there, looking right at us, and panting real hard. Dad eased up towards it a bit, and we could see that its face looked wet around the mouth. We kept creeping up on it real slow. It showed no fear. Finally, we were probably 20 yards from it, and it just got up and walked off the side of the road. I've seen several panthers in the wild here in Florida. Well, the ass end of several anyway, but never a black one. It was actually pretty cool, but at the same time when it was happening, it was very eerie. Next story. My wife and I bought our first house 1 year before we were married. It was about 60 years old and needed updating. The lady we bought it from lived close by and told us the history. Her dad built the house. She and her brother were born there, and her dad died there on the front porch. We did not live in the house for the first year, just worked on it. One day, I was working in the basement and had a radio playing upstairs in the kitchen loud enough that it could be heard throughout the house. Just me and my Jack Russell Terrier, Jake. The front storm door was locked, and the other doors were locked as well. Then all of a sudden, Jake looked up like he heard something. So I listen for a second, expecting to hear a knock at the door, but instead I hear the radio change stations. Not just one station, but about five. And this was not a digital, but the older type that you had to turn the dial. I just thought it was my wife, so I yelled upstairs to her, but no response. So I quietly creep upstairs, expecting her to jump out and try to scare me, because we always joked about our resident ghost. I got upstairs, and nothing. Doors were still locked. No cars, nothing. Jake and I left early that day. Next story. I was visiting my hometown back east. As a young woman, I decided to go for a hike along the river. Over the years growing up, this is where I would go hike and read a book to get away, or go biking or skiing depending on the time of year. I loved this area and it held a special place in my heart. As I set out down the path, I could only walk for a few hundred meters, but the more I walked, the more I felt I had to turn around and just get out of there. I felt very vulnerable. Something was very wrong. Now, I was living in a really horrible part of Vancouver at the time, and I was completely in sync with reading my environment as a matter of self-preservation. However, I had a policy that I was going to walk where I wanted to and when I wanted to. For me to back out of the area, especially a lovely forested area by the river that I loved, was completely out of character for me. In fact, turning around was like a form of defeat. I thought possibly I was becoming soft. Sometime later, news alerts went out into the neighborhood about a missing woman. Her bike had been found at my intended destination that day. A few days later, her body had been dragged out of the nearby creek, murdered. The area was not a violent crime type. What I was picking up on that day, I have no idea, but at least I lived to tell the tale. Next story. One night, my wife and I were woken around 2:30 a.m. by our two Jack Russell Terriers going nuts, barking at the front door. These two dogs were very good watchdogs and did not alert at random noises, so I took it serious. Inside of the house, it was totally dark, but we always had the front porch light on. I had motion sensor lights on both sides of the house, aimed towards the front porch, so anything that walked onto the porch would trigger one of these lights. Well, first thing I notice is neither side light is on, so I'm thinking maybe it was a cat. I peered out one side of the window blinds without moving it, but I saw nothing. So I looked out my side window on the driveway side where my truck was parked, and in my truck window's reflection, I could clearly see a man wearing shorts, no shirt, no shoes, and wavy brown hair down to his lower back, but I couldn't see his face. Okay, now my heart is pounding. 45 in hand and dog still going nuts. I pulled the shade to the side and nothing. Side lights are still off and porch is totally empty. Next story. So my dad and I were hiking back in late November in a place called the UBC Research Forest north of Pitt Meadows in British Columbia, Canada. About 30 miles east and a bit north of Vancouver. It's on the edge of the mountains with several logging roads and trails. Anyway, the day was already getting late when we headed out. The weather horrible, no wind, but there were showers and hail and slush. About 3 degrees. We were the only ones in the area hiking. The parking lot was empty both when we arrived and left. So after about an hour of hiking randomly up logging roads and trails, we were a good several clicks into the area when we took a break by a small stream and a small gully. Anyway, we smelt this horrible scent, sort of skunkish with a human and fish scent mixed in. Anyway, neither of us had ever smelt anything like this before, and we both have encountered very large animals out there on the coast because there was no wind. We knew it was close. So we kept going along the hillside. Above us, about 50 feet, was an overgrown logging slash. Below us, a thickly wooded slope. Could see maybe 100 feet down the slope. Anyway, we got this feeling that we were being followed. The forest became too silent. Even the local ravens didn't make a sound. We smelled the scent another 2 times stronger, so we began to hike faster. We came out of a small gully and we heard a crash. We spun around and we raced back to the crest and looked back down. Something large and tall, easily taller than my dad, who is 6 feet, disappeared into the bush. We just caught a glimpse of dark brown. Because neither of us was armed, we continued on at full pace, knowing that there was a logging road ahead. Again, we smelled this weird smell. We heard noises from the old logging meadow above us. Whatever it was moving very silently. Yet, the odd time it would break a branch or bump a small tree. Anyways, I've been followed by bear and cats before. Neither moved like this. It was way too silent to be either. Just for the record, grizzlies weren't in this area. But I've encountered them before too. After we rounded a bend in the slope, we heard movement again. It was on the lower side of us now, or so it seemed. After another few minutes, we heard it again and smelled it. Now it was moving on the upper side of us, just over a low ridge, maybe 100 feet away. By now, we could see the logging road 100 or 200 feet ahead. Then this thing let out a cry. It sent a shiver down my spine. My dad, who I have never seen afraid before except the one time I was near death, which is another story, went cold. It sounded like a cross between a whoop, a human, and something unknown. It lasted for about 5 seconds. We turned and ran to the road. Running down the road, we passed a junction and continued heading south. I dropped something a few seconds later. About 200 feet past the junction, I stopped, turned, picked it up, and amongst the trees, something tall and dark ducked out of sight. What it was, I haven't a clue, but it was tall and fairly slim. It was too dark to really tell what it was, since it was getting close to dark. So we ran back to the parking lot. Unfortunately, it snowed the next day, several inches. Otherwise, we would have gone back and searched for evidence of this occurrence, which to this day bothers both of us. Nevertheless, this is the only time I have ever been scared in the woods. Next story. At a locale, it's a deer lease, Eagle Lake area. A few years ago, my cousin and I went out to check deer feeders and stands. As we were crossing a field to get to a deer stand that was set up on poles about 8 to 10 feet off the ground, we noticed what we presumed to be a head peering over the top of the wall watching us. We were a good 100 yards off, but it was obvious that something was in the stand. My cousin wanted to go check it out, but I got spooked. I don't know if it was that uneasy feeling of predation or my past encounter with vagrants at our lease, but I talked him out of confronting whatever was up there. We hustled back and told our dads what we had seen. We went back to the stand but didn't see anything watching us this time. So we crossed the field, climbed the pipe ladder to the landing, and found open cans of soup, some dirty clothes, and a mutilated fawn. Whoever had been squatting in our deer stand had killed and was eating a young deer without benefit of cooking, as far as we could tell. There was blood everywhere. It was grisly. We never did run into whoever was surviving out there. Fortunate for him, because I was ready to shoot anything that moved after that. Next story. I went on a Bigfoot expedition in Oklahoma. I went with a buddy who'd been on a few and who would turn down some camping time. I would have categorized myself as a serious skeptic at that time. Well, everybody in the expedition seemed pretty knowledgeable about the outdoors. Open and very honest. We hiked some at night, and some of the more experienced went and tried wood knocks and calls. Sometimes they would get a very faint answer. Whether it was the real deal or a local half a mile off having fun, I couldn't tell. And I wasn't entirely convinced. We did hear something in the camp near our tent at night, as there was some dead leaf cover. It definitely sounded bigger than a raccoon or possum. Other members pointed out what they said were tracks in the leaves nearby. Nothing definitive, mind you, but they were kind of foot-shaped and dwarfed my friend's size 17 boots. My buddy and I got to go off with some very cool Gen 3 night vision equipment later in the weekend. He's about 6'7 and 400 pounds, so he's no wallflower. We were about 1,000 meters or so ahead of the rest of the group on an old logging road, and we were watching some bats flying around through the night vision. I suddenly had a very uneasy feeling. like I was being watched, and the hair on my neck immediately stood on end. About 3 seconds later, my friend whispers, "Something isn't right. We need to go back to the group." I have to admit, my uneasy feeling went to genuine fear pretty quick. We never told anybody else about it, but he admitted that he had the same exact feeling and was pretty damn scared. All of this could have a rational explanation, pranks or the like, but it was pretty damn creepy. I'm not convinced there is something out there, but it did shake my skeptical view.